And the scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah 9:6 and also Luke 2:8 through 14. But we already read that, you know, scripture from the Luke. Isaiah 9:6. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we are humbly gathered together this morning to celebrate what you have done in our lives through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to hear your voice, and we're going to follow your direction. Please, Holy Spirit, fill this inner place with your power, so that we can be faithful servant of witness for your kingdom and for your glory. And we pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. There was a Christian missionary from a Western country to a small village in India. The people in the village have never seen a missionary before. All of the words the missionary used in the church was so strange to them. They couldn't understand the concepts of Jesus Christ, baptism, the membership, the church, even the word missionary. So the villagers naturally started to observe the behaviors of the missionary to understand his intention and his job and even his title as missionary. One day, in a train station, the missionary appeared. So many people were waiting in line to ride a train for a nearby city. The villagers saw the missionary going into the office of a station master. He came out of the office a few minutes later, and he was hopping into the train with the escort of the train master. He was exempted from standing a long line. It seems to be clear that he already had developed a strong tie to the train master, who was one of the authoritative figures in the village. Now, the villagers could understand the meaning of the word missionary through his unintentional nonverbal communication with them. Missionary was a powerful person who had a strong ties to the authorities in the village, at least in that village. Sometimes people do not pay attention to what we try to say, but rather how we behave, right? People in the world are not interested in our message that is delivered through our mouth, but they are interested in our message through our actions. Today, as we light the Advent candle of peace, let us think about how we communicate the message of peace to the people around us. Because we are a letter from Christ, written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, carved not on the tablets of stone, but on the human heart. Because we are Christ's ambassadors speaking for Christ, and also because we are called to spread the knowledge of Christ wherever, like a sweet perfume. We are to continually communicate with the world about the message of peace through our life. What kind of message are we delivering to the people around us? How are we doing in spreading the knowledge of Christ? Do the people around us see the peace in us as we deal with the issues of our lives? Or do they think we are the ones who need the real peace? to confirm our calling to deliver the message of the true peace, I'd like to direct your attention to the biblical meaning of peace. In the Bible, the word peace can refer to the absence of conflict, but it also points to the presence of something better in each place. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom, and in the New Testament, the Greek word is eirene. The most basic meaning of shalom is complete or whole. The word can refer to a stone that has a perfect whole shape with no cracks. It can also refer to a completed stone wall that has no gaps and no missing bricks. Shalom refers to something that is complex with lots of pieces, that is in a state of completeness and wholeness. It is like Job, who says his tents are in a state of shalom because he counted his flock and no animals are missing. If your animal accidentally damages your neighbor's field, you shalom them by giving them a complete repayment for their loss. You take what is missing and you restore it to wholeness. The core idea is that life is complex, full of moving parts and relationships and situations. When any of these is out of alignment or missing, your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole. It needs to be restored. The same goes for human relationship. In the book of Proverbs, to reconcile and heal a broken relationship is to bring shalom. When rival kingdoms make shalom in the Bible, it doesn't just mean they stop fighting. It also means they start working together for each other's benefit. This state of shalom is what Israel's kings were supposed to cultivate. But as we know, it rarely happened. So the prophet Isaiah looked forward to a future king, a prince of shalom. His reign will bring shalom with no end. He is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace. We know how the story of this world will be concluded from those passages. There will be a time when God would make a covenant of shalom with his people and make right all wrongs and heal all that has been broken. This is why Jesus' birth in the New Testament was announced as the arrival of eirene. The apostles claim that Jesus made peace between messed up humans and God when he died and rose from the dead. The idea is that he restored to wholeness the broken relationship between humans and their creator. This is why Apostle Paul can say, Christ is our peace. He made both Jews and Gentiles into one group. While his body, he broke down the barrier of hatred that divided us. He canceled the detailed rules of the law so that he could create one new person out of the two groups, making peace. Paul instructed the local churches to keep their unity through the bond of peace, which requires humility and patience and bearing with others in love. Becoming people of peace means participating in the life of Jesus, who reconciled all things in heaven and earth through his death and resurrection. So peace takes a lot of work, Because it is not just the absence of conflict. True peace requires taking what is broken and restoring it to wholeness, whether it is in our lives, our relationships, or in our world. How do you think you are communicating with the people around you about this message of peace? Do they see the peace in you because you are Christians? They know you go to church every Sunday, and they know you are very faithful to do that. Do they see the peace in your life, in the ways you're dealing with the people, the things happening in your lives? Or do we need the real peace of Jesus Christ in our heart? Many missionaries in history have encountered the problem with helping the people in their mission fields to understand the concept of peace. Let me tell you the story about the missionaries in Indonesia who had the same problem. Maybe I believe many of you heard about this story about Peace Child. Don Richardson and his wife Carol moved to West Dutch Guinea in Indonesia to take the gospel to Sawi in 1962. In their new home in the jungle, the Richardson set about learning the native Sawi language, which was daunting in its complexity. There are 19 tenses for every verb. Can you imagine that? I really felt for them because I'm the one who learned English. Don was soon able to become proficient in the dialect after a schedule of 8 to 10 hours daily learning sessions. I was the same. I studied English 8 to 10 hours before I came to the United States. Don labored to show the villagers a way that they could comprehend Jesus from the Bible. But the cultural barriers to understanding and accepting this teaching seemed impossible. As he learned the language and lived with the people, he became more aware of the gulf that separated his Christian worldview from the worldview of the Sawi. The story of the betrayal of Jesus by Judas is a clear example of the cultural differences. The Sawi saw Judas as the hero of the story. Judas was a master at deception. From the Sawi cultural perspective, the capability of duping people, someone, and then killing them once they have fallen into your trap was to be greatly admired. This meant Jesus was duped and should be mocked and scorned, not adored. Three Sawi villages in the area were constantly at war. The battles were often fierce, and at times, Don and Carol felt their lives were in danger. At one point, they were so frustrated with these ongoing hostilities, they were ready to pack up and go back to the States. But God had other plans. Eventually, the three villages decided that they would stop the hostilities and try to live in peace. One of the means they agreed upon to ensure peace was exchange of children between opposing villages. Yes, people would be called on to give up their children to go live in another village with their perceived enemies. This was to discourage further attacks out of fear of killing their own children. With this ray of hope for peace stirring in their heart, it came time to act. One Sawi man was so committed to seeing peace come that he took one of his male babies in his arms and ran toward the enemy camp, holding up his child as a symbol of the price he was willing to pay to bring peace. Don was able to make a clear link between the peace child offered by the Sawi Sawi, man, and what God did for us by giving his only son, Christ, to die for our sins. Eventually, he saw a real breakthrough in this area. Following the event, many villagers converted to Christianity. A translation of the New Testament in Sawi was published. And nearly 2,500 Sawi patients were treated by Carol. 50 years after first arriving in Papua New Guinea, Don revisited the Sawi tribe, which had not only embraced Christianity, but had become a base for reaching out to the tribes around them with the message of Christ. As we ponder upon the word peace in this sermon, I encourage you to think about the people who need peace of Jesus Christ in your life. Many are suffering from broken relationships. We see and hear the unforgiving culture of social media. There are parents who have lost their ties to their children. Husbands and wives whose relationships are not the same as it used to be. Brothers and sisters who have not forgiven each other in a long time. Yes, we are suffering in our relationship. We have cracks and vacancy in our lives. We need shalom. I think the broken pieces of life is not exempted for the pastors too. In my family, my uncles and their family members, they still do not accept me and my family as their family because of my belief in Jesus Christ. They felt they are betrayed by us because we do not do worship our ancestors anymore. But as I prepare for this sermon, God is telling me that you cannot hide that broken relationship you have, even though they do not have a faith in me. I felt the voice of God in my heart. I place you in your family because you have this peace child, Jesus Christ. And I want to use you to bring them to my place. Yes, we have this peace child, Jesus Christ. But we do see the problems in our family. Well, we do see the problems, the people we know. So we have to deal with these issues because our God, he wants to deal these issues through us to bring peace, as he has done on the cross of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Don't you think God is speaking to you continually about that problem you are suffering right now? Don't you think God wants to use you to solve that problem that has been ongoing for years? But we have the peace child. Do you think we have that capabilities? No, I don't think so. But we have the peace child. We can ask our God to bring renewal in our relationship as we depend him, the peace child, in our prayers. Why don't you pray this way? God, I want to see the breakthrough in my life. Okay. I really want to see the new things happening because I know your son, Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. God, can you give me the courage and power that I can follow your steps? You lead me to the person that I want to rebuild my relationship. If you know someone in your life, as your friends or as your family members or as your relatives, that you think you can play a role to bring peace in their relationship, you can start with a prayer. God, they have been that kind of a situation for a long time. I know that. Why did you allow me to know that kind of a situation? If you are willing, Lord, I will follow your direction. Use me to bring peace in the relationship that has been broken in the life of my friends and my relatives. Yes, we have almost 2,000 memberships at our church, members at our church. And every Sunday we have 500 to 700 people attending our service. If we are faithfully joined the ministry of Jesus Christ of bringing the peace into this world, I think with the number we have here, 500 to 700 people every Sunday, we can change this town. Amen?
Amen.
We can start that with a prayer. Lord, forgive me. I have despised your power of healing and renewal in my life. Just forgive me, Lord. And I want to invite you again into my life to bring peace in the people I know in my life. As we join the season of Advent, we are not just sitting in the pews listening to good sermons from our pastors. God wants us to go out to share the message of peace in our actions. God wants our family members to see how we deal with the issues we have. We can do that with the power of prayer. And God will answer our prayer. I want to close my sermon with this scripture from Isaiah 53. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be heard. Jesus Christ, he already completed that work on the cross. We can just follow his direction with the prayer. Let us pray together. Dear God, we are so much grateful for giving us the true peace of Jesus Christ. We are so honored to be called to bridge the gaps between you and the broken world. Let us be your peacemaker everywhere we go. Let us start the ministry of shalom in our family. God, give your peace in our family. Give us courage and power. Lead us to where your shalom is needed. We pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.